This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Shalom, Ashley!
Yes!
Tanks! Tanks for tuning in, and welcome to Turtle Tank, the show, or should I say shell, for those of you who think...
Stop it!
The show, or should I say shell? I was really... Thanks for tuning in was great.
Okay, I overdid it. The show for those of you who think outside the box, Turtle. I'm Lake Turtwitz, along with your celebrity host, Shell Malie Axford, Brian Surfee, and called Shell Tanner.
Great to be here. You've got 30 more minutes of intro, right?
Yeah.
We do Turtle Tank rarely enough that the first 10 minutes of every show is how much we hate it. Or hate the puns, I guess. We don't hate the show.
I love the puns.
They're honestly, it's mostly show. Jake
is like a warm-up comic before an actual stand-up. I love it.
I can't think of any other part of a turtle.
Who's Jake? I only know Lake.
Yeah, Lake Turtwitz. Okay, our first pitch comes from Alex W. Alex writes,
Lake is so tenuously connected to turtles. It's so tenuous.
That's a good question.
So tenuous. Go on.
It's a body of water. That's where they live some of the time.
Sometimes. Yeah. I mean, they don't live in any body of water.
Right, I guess they visit there. You're right. Yeah. I should have said land turtles. Hey there, turtles. May I present the drunk status condition?
Okay.
I am DMing a bachelorette one-shot for my friend getting married and the really rest fun. Of the bachelorette party. I decided the game should be a bunch of PCs going on a bachelorette trip and came up with the drunk status condition to fit the vibe. After you drink one more than your con modifier's alcoholic drinks, make a con save equal to 10 plus the number of drinks consumed.
Okay.
On a fail, you become drunk. There are four levels of drunk.
Okay.
The first is tipsy, where you have advantage on charisma and dex checks, but disadvantage on wisdom and intelligence checks.
This seems correct.
Advantage on dex checks from being tipsy? Just,
you're loose. That's when the beer pong shots are falling
in. Right.
This is 2.5 drinks in.
This is when you're good at pool for some reason.
Yeah, this is why gymnasts always take a shot before they go out.
Good ones,
you saw Simone Biles with a bottle of tequila, right?
I'm poking some holes in this.
You don't know what's in that water bottle is the thing.
Yeah.
The second is buzzed, where you have disadvantage on dex checks and saves, but advantage on strength checks and saves. Drunk strength. This is why you see the power lifters at the Olympics.
Yeah.
Two shots.
The third is proper drunk, where you have disadvantage on all attacks and ability checks, but believe you have advantage.
Yeah, that seems right.
And the fourth is blackout, where you must make a wisdom save, 10 plus the number of drinks consumed, or lose all memory of the events that occur at this level.
Mm-hmm.
You also fall under the poison condition.
Yeah.
Turtles, for the price of just a single egg to raise as my own, and blessings of good luck for the bride-to-be, I would give you 65% stake in this condition.
Okay, so we're all going to mix our genetic material into one egg so that you will have a chance of raising, like, you know, one of our clones. That's how we're going to do
this. Oh, that's cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A turtle clone.
Right.
Yeah.
Which you'll name Land.
So tenuously connected.
I mean, so far it seems the only thing that I'm like, I guess you want to know.
It's so complicated.
Yeah, but that's the purpose of this. They're doing a bachelorette party. So I have a feeling that braving the elements mm-hmm. being tequila sodas is the adventure.
Yeah. I would say this almost feels more like a alternate exhausted condition leveling,
which I kind of like.
And that's what I like about it. It's a little complicated, but I think if you're taking it like level by level, if you hand out maybe like a little cheat sheet so people like know what they're getting up to, it's not too complicated.
Yeah, I think the thing with the... Caldo brings up a good point about the exhaustion thing. And with the exhaustion thing, with each new level, you just add more stuff. So it just gets worse and worse and worse. And arguably, that's what it should be, right? Although I guess there's the idea of like you have advantage on charisma checks, so like you're maybe charming after you've had a drink.
Yeah, you're loose, you're cool.
It's kind of funny to me to have like, okay, one drink in, you don't have extra strength, but two drinks in, you do actually get that strength boost. There's just something funny as a player to be like, okay, wait, actually I'm going to take one more shot and see if I can get buzzed.
It also keeps the players engaging with the system because they want to exploit all the different levels of it. I think you wouldn't want to have this be like a permanent fixture of your campaign. But
no,
if it's
for
like,
sure not. This is a one shot though.
Yeah, for a one shot where it's like we're going out, we are like having more drinks than our con modifier can handle. I think that that's like a fun way to handle this. It's like, I mean, like, yeah, if this is like the mini game for the episode or for the session, then this feels fun to me.
I feel like we've done this a few times in our campaign where we like, you know, we played beer pong or Flip Cup.
Flip Cup in
the Frigid North. And like maybe you can introduce some drunk mechanics there.
Yeah.
So like
you
get slightly better at the game. Oh wait, did you introduce these mechanics in Hot Boy Summer maybe?
That we got better at some point?
I think that there was some drinking mechanics.
There was a beer pong finale.
Yeah, there was, wasn't there? Yeah.
Did somebody invent this?
Is this one of these?
One of you hatchlings need to pitch our own idea to us and see if we catch it. Because we won't.
We won't. We'll all hate it.
Yeah. Yeah, we just go
off
on it. Yeah,
we just pick apart.
And it's just
what
something
we
I did in episode 50. No, this is cool. I think it's a little overcooked.
Interesting.
Ooh. I think it's a little overcooked. I think there's a little too much.
You like a runny yolk.
Yeah, I like a runny yolk. We don't need to get
That's
lost
my kid
in the tank
you're talking
here.
About.
We don't need to get lost in the tank here. But I think maybe I would just, so I do agree. I like the idea of there being some pluses to the early levels of drunkenness, like the adding to charisma and things like that, and maybe even adding to strength, sort of boons and banes that go with it. But I would maybe just have one boon and one bane with each level to make it a little simpler.
Okay, so just give the boost to, like, first level, tipsy, just boost
charisma,
to charisma.
Because you're not actually getting more dexterous.
Just disadvantage to, would you give disadvantage to wisdom or intelligence? I would say just one drink in, wisdom.
I would say wisdom, yeah. Because you could still be good at, like, you'd be good at bar trivia.
Yeah, right, right, right.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, you start pondering the meaning of life.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, you start talking way too deep with, like, a work.
Oh, there should be one like with the buzzed one where you like can't filter out talking about yourself.
Yeah, and then you actually
divulge
too
many.
You need
secrets.
Them to black out so they forget everything. Yeah,
exactly.
You talk about your genuine interest a little too deeply.
Yeah.
So I think for the price of one egg, I think this is there. We just need to shave it down a little bit.
Definitely.
I think we're close.
Yeah. So I know I like it.
Yeah. So should we? Do we all go in and
for
offer one
egg? Yeah.
One
yeah,
clone,
I can't afford
one
not
clone
to buy
egg.
One
yeah.
Yeah. I think we're gonna put four of our eggs in a nest, and we're gonna put like a black cloth over them and like shuffle all the eggs around. So you do not know which
That's
of our
fun.
Turtle babies you're getting, but you are claiming one.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. We'll put them just on the beach and see which one makes it to the water before a bird scoops
Is
them.
Is that right? What moms do?
They don't do it on purpose. Right. I mean, they don't like want.
They don't want to test their babies.
That's just where they lay their eggs. I don't think they're testing them. Maybe they are. I don't know.
Wow, turtle moms are so exact.
Savage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, here comes the pelican investor.
No, I don't want to come at turtle moms too hard because they're working hard, but I do feel like they could have found a safer place, right?
Putting my daughter on like the top of a jungle gym and be like, all right, figure it out. I'm a turtle dad.
Yeah. I guess you don't want
where you prove yourself.
I guess you don't want the eggs to wash away, but you don't want them to have a long run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's tough.
It's tough.
It's tough being a turtle mom.
It really is.
You know, they should put them and then just put a little umbrella over them.
That's
really smart.
So
that's
then
really
the birds can't see from above.
Right. The birds will just think it's
and then
yeah,
the sun.
Well, it would need to be a huge umbrella because it would need to span like most of the beach because they waddle their whole way down the beach. Yeah.
It's too bad this isn't D&D court because we could, you know, punish somebody and tell them to put little umbrellas above turtle egg clutches.
We'd have to come
down
real hard on turtle moms, unfortunately, because frankly, they're just not cutting it.
And neither are their children.
Yeah. So we'll lay four eggs near the beach.
And we'll see which one makes it.
May the best one win.
You can scoop the survivor.
Yeah. I would say if you want to be on pelican fighting duty, then like that's what you can bring to
the
conversation.
You can keep, if they all make it, you can keep four.
Yeah.
You know,
pelican moms are out there trying to feed their pelican kids.
That's true. We forget that about pelican moms.
Yeah. We have a beef with Pelican Tank, which is the other show.
Yeah. I do find that when
Pelican Parlor.
Yeah,
Pelican
it really parlor. Shouldn't be Tank. It
Whenever
really shouldn't be Tank.
Do you guys get like weird suggestions from Reddit that'll be there's one that's called Nature is Metal and it'll just show like I don't follow any of this cuz I don't want to see it, but it'll just be like an alligator fighting a giraffe or something that like in the wild. It's not like a fighting pit.
Right.
But I'm always
that happened in my backyard.
I'm literally always just rooting for whoever is getting attacked.
Yeah.
And it's like totally not how nature works.
The second that one of them, it's like you're rooting for like the alligator who's getting attacked, and then the second the alligator starts
and then
winning,
it switches,
then you're rooting for the one that's
there. There was one Yeah, there was one where a bunch of boars or warthogs, I don't remember, was chasing a lion, I think, like a lioness. And she jumps up into a tree to get away from all of these boars. The and I'm boars. Like, that's awesome. Wow. Great, go lioness. Then she jumps down and grabs one of the boars and brings it up into the tree with her. And then it switches, and I'm like, no, the poor boar.
Yeah, you didn't have all the you got the edit.
Nature shows are doing a lot of, like, they have to do kind of a lot of PR and investment in the animal, like, leading up to the kill. Like, if it is from the lion's POV, it's just like, the cubs are so hungry. And you're like, God, you got to win. You got to get out there, lioness.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Okay.
You hate to see like a snake wrapping around eggs. Hate it when they do
That's tough.
But the snake's got to eat.
Stealing eggs in general is hard to get
behind. It's tough.
Yeah.
I don't like it. Snakes, cut it out.
Come
eat
on,
mice.
Guys.
Come
snakes.
On.
You can't have tofu.
Till they hatch and then eat them.
You can't go through a drive-thru.
Give them a fighting chance.
Yeah.
I just feel like, like a vegan hot dog would be fine for a snake. It's the shape of their body anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good point. Mm-hmm. What if you could make an egg or a bean that was so big that it looked,
like an egg.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be absolutely disgusting.
I think
I can picture the texture of that, and I want to.
Right, you go to crack it, but it's all bean.
Wait, no, I have 10 additional points. I have 10 additional points.
Okay, Chaos P writes, "Greetings, turtles. Time is eggs. I shall keep it brief."
Exhausting. Time is beans. Time is eggs.
Time is beans, you
time
means.
Time is beans.
Time is beans, you means. I shall keep this brief. Exhausting death saves. Exhaustion is an underutilized mechanic in most 5e play, despite it narratively feeling like a natural consequence of an adventuring lifestyle.
Right on.
And if you desire higher stakes for your players, but feel a long rest cure everything short of death, look no further than exhausting death saves.
Okay.
For each failed death saving throw, the PC suffers two levels of exhaustion. Three failed death saves results in death, which is coincidentally the consequence of the sixth level of exhaustion.
Okay.
Ah. If you believe a near-death experience should be a bigger deal than one good night's sleep can cure, this might work for you.
Ooh.
Only one level of exhaustion is removed per long rest, so it might be days before the wounded PC is at full strength. In play, I have found this variant has resulted in more strategic play, more teamwork, and more respect for the risk of hitting zero HP.
We do need more respect.
I thought you meant like general respect for each
just
other.
Just in my life.
No more dismissing a dying friend because you know they probably won't die this turn.
Yep. Yeah.
What kind of friend does that anyway?
That's a good point.
We need more respect.
Yeah.
We
need more respect.
Just my players absolutely hated doctors before this. And now, honestly, they think they're okay.
Whoa, this last paragraph is groundbreaking. This idea is not for sale.
What?
What?
For any ex.
What?
It is released into the public domain. For all to use at no cost. No, I block this.
We're going to buy it.
We're going to put a red shirt on the egg, so then it's ours. Then it's fucking ours.
We're
going to put a red shirt on this idea and give it a name.
It's exactly the same, except we call it exhaustion tiredness.
Exhaustion tiredness. So, that is caught, is killed. This is our idea.
This is us, And we are going to sue you for being too close to our tiredness idea.
Tired to death, copyright.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a great idea.
I really like this idea.
What is one level of exhaustion? Is that just your speed is affected?
That's disadvantage on checks, I believe. If someone wouldn't mind pulling this up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's disadvantage on ability checks.
But not attacks. So that it is kind of fun because it is like if you're in battle, you're not actively being punished for like with every single attack. But you are like if you're just trying to talk to someone, you might be stumbling over
And this is it's only failed saves, right?
So right, exactly.
Technically, if you get knocked out, you wouldn't have any
It's only
exhaustion.
Fail.
That's cool.
So these are the exhaustion effects. Number one, first level, disadvantage on ability checks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Second level, speed halved.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay.
Third, disadvantage on attack rolls and saving throws.
There you go.
Yeah. That's
four
where
levels.
It starts getting
hit
brutal.
Point maximum is halved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then fifth, speed reduced to zero. Six is death.
That all makes sense for.
It also is. It's a really good system too because it's like if you had two failed death saves, you would have four levels of exhaustion. But basically, once you slept, my hit point maximum is no longer half.
Yeah.
And that's gonna feel good to even just get rid of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not so like harsh that you wouldn't want to play in this.
Yeah.
Because you know. You fell one, that's only disadvantage on ability checks. I feel like that's fun role play.
Yeah, I thought the half or I thought the disadvantage on attacks was level 2, but since it's level 3, it's great because you kind of have that first level to play with where it's not that bad to have one or two levels of exhaustion.
Yeah.
But it does feel like consequences.
Yeah.
So I think this is rad. I do agree that people getting knocked out and then popping back up and knocked out and popping back up is kind of silly.
You're right. Yeah. That is brutal, though, because then if they get knocked out in battle... And then, but you're right, though.
But then you'd be strategic. Yeah.
Then your team is going to bring you up.
Make sure you healing word them. Yeah. You bring them up. You don't let them get near death.
Yeah.
I think this is rad. Yeah.
Can you walk me through the mechanics one more time? It's every death save you fail.
You just get
you
two.
Get a level of,
two.
You get two levels of exhaustion.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Wow.
Yeah.
That's
which
and
makes sense.
Every time you sleep, you can only remove one.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah,
I really like this kind of homebrew when someone takes a rule and then backwards engineers. A homebrew, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because this this hatchling who happened to have a parallel idea to us, it's really close to our tiredness.
And it's so unfortunate that we thought of it
first.
Yeah, we were already in the trademarking
process.
Yeah.
That being said, I do really like this idea that they came up with, where it,
we also came up with.
Logic of being like six exhaustion levels is 3 death saves, and thus 1 death save would be 2 exhaustion levels.
Yeah.
I think this is really cool.
Yeah.
And
I think it's really cool, and I'm really glad that we came up with it before.
Yeah, I think we're just going to have to let the market decide, right? We're just going to have to put both these ideas out there.
Yeah,
and see, like,
do the people want
on.
Tiredness or exhaustion, which honestly is kind of sweaty to say, and I don't even know how to
That's a long word.
Yeah.
Whereas tiredness
is really tiredness. Relatable, approachable.
Exhaustion might be easier to copy right now that I think about it.
Wait a minute. Can we just call it exhaustion like eggs? Because that ties into our brand.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, you're right. Okay, so actually we will pivot.
We'll do exhaustion.
Back. Yeah. And that's what we do in the tank is we make things better.
Yes.
Yeah, so we're stealing your
idea. We like this idea. Everyone's free to use this one, but you can pay for our premium version coming out soon.
Yeah.
Exhaustion.
Exhaustion plus. Okay.
It is a subscription model.
Right. You subscribe, and then every month we just call you and say, how's it going?
It is a robocall, though. Right. Our next pitch comes from Immortal Crow 786.
All right.
Oh, congrats. Immortality is
very
an achievement.
Cool. Very cool. Almost tortoise level.
A gift or
although
a curse,
crow in the sky descending upon our little eggs
our
as
eggs?
We test them on the beach.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it would be weird for a crow to be eating at turtles on the beach, but who knows?
Anything's
they
possible.
Get hungry enough. Wow. They're smart.
Yeah.
Okay. They adapt.
Yeah.
They adapt.
Yeah. Okay, what's this clever crow got up their sleeve?
A business rival writes in, great tortellini turtles and Jim, I think. Close.
It's land,
land,
sir.
I've come to you today about body enhancement magic.
Ooh.
Anime, TV shows, movies, etc. They always have magic that makes the body stronger, faster, more resilient.
Yeah.
There are some spells in D&D that do buff, but I would like to put out a single spell that would increase your stats by a single point starting at level 2 so that you're stronger. Higher level versions of the spell would raise the increased amount and allow your characters to fully feel like a mage with attitude as they kick your Batowski.
Okay.
It could be like an eldritch invocation for Pact of the Blade or a spell for the Bladesinger wizard.
Okay.
All I want is a single egg. Everybody's just asking for single eggs or giving them away for free. I don't know what's going on.
I guess they're worried about the pelicans and the crows. Yeah, it makes sense.
All I want is a single egg that smells like cotton candy to use as a candle. Thank you.
Wow.
So I feel like you were a little light on details. How long does this last?
Yeah.
And you just permanently
does it
up
stack
a point?
It seems like it would have to be like a concentration thing or something.
Yeah. I think that it seems like, it seems like it's they're probably saying, like, rather than enhance ability, which just gives you advantage, why don't we increase the stat? And then you can scale it up so that you can increase the stat by more.
Yeah.
Advantage is so good, though.
It almost feels like mage armor, but for your body, I guess, because, like, mage armor is, like, one of the few spells that lasts for a long time and bestows a pretty good benefit if you're, like, a squishy wizard. So it seems like you're kind of doing that, which I don't hate. I mean, especially if you're, like, burning a slot for it. I mean, it feels like a color of armament hockey from One Piece, if you ask me, which I think is pretty cool. So.
Yeah. I don't know that this is speaking to my eggs.
It kind of feels like you want to feel like a specialist in D&D sometimes. Like, I like having a skill, and I like having one thing buffed. Yeah. So I like almost, it gives me like a purpose to know what to do. Like,
yeah, just you having can like just
all
make,
of a sudden a plus one to history that I didn't have before is like.
There is a, I want to say it's called borrowed knowledge, and I might be a little bit mistaking this, but I think you basically can be proficient in something that you aren't normally proficient in. And that almost excites me more to be like, cool, I can add, if my proficiency bonus is +3, I can add +3 to an ability that I don't normally have it. And I think that excites me more.
Yeah. Does going up one in every single ability give you that much?
I think
not really.
Are we talking about like score, or are we talking about modifier?
Modifier more so.
I think it was just score though. That's what it read like to me.
Okay. Because that might not even boost it.
It might not.
Right.
But they did say you could upcast it so that it goes for more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess it gets, I think it's a little more exciting if it's upcast. And I was like, adding two to things that I had zero.
But even then, if you were like a wizard, wouldn't it be better to just like shoot a cone of cold or something than to have like +3 strength or something?
Yeah, I do think it's almost like a cheat code that makes the game a little less exciting.
It's like solving a problem that we kind of don't have.
It's fun to problem solve.
I guess it could be good to like add to your decks for like stealth or something like that, but then you have Pass Without Trace.
Basically spells that do all of these things individually.
Does this just seem like a better version of Enhance Ability? Like, is that what this is?
I personally think it might be worse than Enhance Ability because Enhance Ability gives you advantage, and getting just a +1 boost might not be as good statistically.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely don't think it is.
I don't know the math,
but I feel like it's... advantage is like +5 on average better.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't exactly know the math.
I don't know math either, but I agree with that.
Right?
Someone
I feel like I'm correct.
Yeah. I think that advantage just feels better because you get to roll more dice and you get to look at more numbers.
Well, no. You're definitely boosting. You have a better chance. It's not just that it's fun.
It's just
fun. Do you know what I think would be...
That's not how the statistics work.
Do you know what I think would be more fun? Okay, but this is actually like really different and maybe not a good pitch at all. I think I would have more fun is if it was a spell that let you swap two skills.
Ooh,
so let's say you're like a wizard and you're like all intelligence, but then like you guys are going through some terrain.
Yeah.
And you're like, you know what? I'm swapping intelligence and dex. And so then it's, you do have a disadvantage, right? Because then suddenly your intelligence is whatever your dex was, but you can suddenly be like dexterous.
Yeah. I like that a lot.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Like, you know, a shifter wizard who can like shift forms feels very fun. Now that just feels like a variant of a druid who can like, you know, wild shape into like a strong form or something like that. But I don't know. I think there's something really fun to that.
Yeah. Some kind of shapeshifter. Mm-hmm. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's something there. I feel like this is a little undercooked.
Yeah.
Yeah. We like we like them over hard or over medium.
No, we like them runny, right? Isn't that how you like them, Murph?
We like them runny.
Yeah. He likes them runny, but this isn't.
This is IRL.
This is too runny.
The albumin is still on the egg. We hate
Murph
that.
At a diner this morning. Sir, you can't be in the kitchen.
I'm sorry. This is too runny.
Sir, I haven't even started cooking it yet.
That's not your plate.
This egg isn't ready to run across the beach.
I think you knew it too, because we didn't talk about concentration. We didn't talk about how long it lasts. We didn't talk about any of those details.
Let's put a little umbrella over this egg.
Actually, let's
fold the umbrella in so it can cook a little bit in the sun. I think, this egg was in the shade.
We could get like we could get an umbrella that has little magnifying glasses.
That's
to
really
help.
Cool. Oh yeah, that seems seems not good for the turtle.
Oh, that's cool. So it's like an umbrella. It's a beach umbrella with a magnifying glass.
Yeah.
God, that's such a good prank. Imagine give somebody a beach umbrella. Yeah. They put it up at the beach and then lie down and fall asleep, and they burn a hole through their chest.
You could make it say something.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah. This is Benjamin Franklin actually invented a bifocal umbrella exactly like you're describing.
That's really cool.
He was such
cool.
a prankster.
Yeah.
Okay, so
I think no one's going for it.
This one's a pass for us.
Yeah, I think so.
But let's see if Kenzie LZ can do better. Tortles, I give you an idea to make roleplay a bit easier for new players or a table that is playing for the first time together.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The rumors. Each player writes 4 rumors about themselves. 1 true positive rumor, 1 false positive rumor, gossip that looks on you favorably, 1 false negative rumor, etc. I guess there's a 4th rumor that they don't mention, but
Seems a little there's overcooked.
Yeah. Okay, four rumors. Yeah. As a player in DM, you know which of your rumors is true and which is exaggerated nonsense. The DM distributes the rumors to the other players.
Wow.
Now each player has a random fact or short story about the other one. They assume all of them are true. Mm-hmm. This can be a good bridge for a campaign where the players meet in a local tavern. They would know stuff about each other and can help guide interactions. Since each player wrote their own rumors, they have control over how their character is seen by various NPCs and other players. If you live in a small town, village, area, or a city, you know stuff about random people. The DM will randomly distribute the rumors so every player has different ones about each other.
Hmm.
So I've done this in two campaigns now. And it's usually pretty fun. However, the first time I did it was with Bria, and it was like baked into this system that was like Regency. Mm-hmm. So it was like fueled by rumors and reputation and stuff. And then we just did it.
I think we don't want to, we can't get too into Cloudward Ho because it's still coming out.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
We did do a version of this for Cloudward Ho. Rumors.
That's cool.
About the characters, yeah. And some of them are true and some of them are not true. But wow. I could see that being very
helpful.
So
this time was actually parallel thinking.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that it came from this other system that does that. I can't remember what the name was, but there was a system that we did a Court of Fame Flowers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good Society. Yeah. That's right. What it is.
This is like the real life icebreaker, two truths and a lie.
Yeah. Yeah.
The only thing I would say is that false rumors can be a little bit confusing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the DM has to be smart about what false rumors make it in,
right?
Because otherwise they can feel like red herrings that people are distracted by.
Yeah, I could see it being almost like part of a backstory that, like, you know, something I did was misunderstood.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That you would want to let in.
Yeah.
But if it's just straight up lies.
Yeah, like... I think that's going to feel more fun than just a full lie. Yeah.
Especially mm-hmm. for if you're new role players, right? This is probably if you've been playing a lot together, do like putting lies in there or whatever and having like tension or thinking right. that like someone's actually a bad guy or something might be good and might be interesting.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. for new players, you might just kind of want
to
go.
Right. It's a lot to balance.
Regular rumors.
Yeah.
Almost just like factoids.
Yeah. It could be like, you know, some things about the other players and maybe you know something vaguely like they were at the scene of this crime. What does that mean?
Right.
Yeah.
It's also a really cool way for the players to like deepen their character because you're like thinking about like, oh, like, what do people in town know about me? Like, what do I know about myself? Like, what is something I want to share? It's a great like writing exercise just to kind of get in your character's mindset. Yeah, I feel like
it's also, I've never done it with people who didn't know each other, like as characters who didn't know each other. It's really good. I really like the idea, especially for like, we're starting out in a tavern.
Yeah.
And then it's like, because a lot of times it really would just get people who are like new to D&D, like talking to each other.
Totally. Yeah. I heard about you.
Yeah.
Like, that's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. You like your eggs really runny.
It is quite literally an icebreaker. Like it's like doing an icebreaker activity, but in role play, which is really good.
Yeah. Okay, so Kenzie asks, all I request is another single egg.
A single egg? Wow. We really are in a recession, huh?
All I request is a spotted egg and some light praise. I'm doing a good job and I'm an okay mom.
Oh,
you're doing a great job and you're a great mom.
Wow, you're crushing it.
Yeah.
But you deserve
now
it.
The egg isn't spotted because I put so much into that compliment.
We're going to give you a regular egg, but some compliments.
Yeah, we're going to compliment you so much that you hopefully don't notice
the spots we are going to be selling separately. We have a spot sticker pack that you can use to decorate your egg. Egg bedazzling is going to be the big trend for 2025,
ooh,
I think.
Ooh, bedazzling our eggs? I mean, that's pretty much like a low-budget Fabergé, right?
Yes. For too long has Fabergé been in the hands of the cultural elite. I think it's time to bring it back to the people.
To sticker and bedazzle your
every man's Fabergé. The layman's decorative egg.
Go to a diner and just hand them a sheet of stickers and say, could you gussy up my egg?
I like it hard-boiled and bedazzled.
Hard on the outside and inside. Okay, our next idea. Caldwell, you're going to love this one, buddy.
Whoa!
You don't know that. You don't fucking know that. You don't know me. I don't like this. I'm getting pegged here.
It's going to be a weird, it's going to be a weird, wacky one.
Caldwell's getting
Shell
pegged here.
Is going to really like it.
Okay.
Lucy L. writes, howdy torts. I may finally have a use for Caldwell's special coin or DVD.
No!
Oh!
I love
okay.
it. I tell you what I thought this was going to be?
Yeah.
Well, for Well, okay. Caldwell's insistence on flipping coins and flipping DVDs, it is a source of eternal torture for me.
Sure.
But I thought this was going to be the first thing. I was like, what is a fucking Looney Tunes mechanic that Caldwell would love? Ooh. And I was like, it's going to be something with falling off cliffs where you can do a dex save to do like the Wile E. Coyote, run out into the air. Stand that's there really for a good. Second.
There's
before
an
you
artificer
fall.
Artificer infusion that's basically that.
That's like, yeah. It's
you
like
fall,
feather fall.
Can you fart just before impact to give you a small boost like a jet thruster?
Yeah.
Again,
yeah.
You could just flavor your Misty yeah. step
oh,
to
that's
be that.
True. Misty fart.
Yeah.
There's okay, a cleric so ability is... that lets you protect against a death save. And I feel like that would just be when you get flattened and only your eyes remain and you're just a pile of ash and then you just shake it off. So I think there's a lot of, it's all actually already in 5e. Mm-hmm. It's like fully Looney Tunes already. You just have to find the ways to flavor it.
So this isn't Looney Tunes Caldwell. This is insist on flipping a coin instead of just rolling
this is,
dice.
That's right. Prop comedy on a podcast Caldwell.
prop comedy on an audio podcast.
You didn't even have the DVD nearby.
You have a coaster. You held up a coaster. Do you want to flip that coaster?
Hold on. I have a coaster. What is let it? Me go get my copy of Final Fantasy 7.
He's leaving. He's out of here.
And we can't even read the case without him because it's...
Holy shit, his car is starting.
Yeah.
Unreal.
Okay, he's coming back. Or hopefully... I don't see him, actually.
No, the footsteps have gotten fainter and fainter.
I was hoping we could just... Okay, there he is.
He's bleeding a lot.
Okay, I'm back. Hold
he's
on.
He's covered in sweat.
I couldn't find Final Fantasy VII, but I did find Hunter Disc 1 from the Chimera Ant arc.
Okay.
So I think that's going to be a real juicy one to flip.
So we can...
Oh, you took it out of the box.
I took it out of the box.
Yeah, so we can flip it.
It's a loose DVD.
Okay, so we've got a loose DVD to flip instead of a coin, and that's funny, question mark. Some would argue no.
It's the great debate that rages in our time.
Even if you were to be able to see it, some people would say it's not that funny or interesting.
I think people are going to be impressed by my anime DVD collection.
I'm surprised we have never brought DVDs to a live show.
Yeah.
We should be doing
Could
that.
You imagine the pop it would get?
Oh my
throwing
God.
Them into the audience?
Just the audience gaslighting me into thinking it's a cool awesome. Thing to do.
I'm going to message the audience separately somehow and be like, everybody bring your most prized DVD and fling it on
you
stage.
Don't mind getting scratched.
That you do. We should just do a full DVD live show, right, where we don't bring any dice. We only bring DVDs.
We do all of our
every
bad bits.
Option is either works or it fails based
on
the DVD.
And it's all based on the cover
of
the
DVD. DVD.
Yeah, and it's canon, too.
Yeah.
Okay, this is going to be a DC heads flip check.
DVD DC.
If you can see the cover of I Heart Huckabees when you flip it and not the backside of it.
Are you flipping this thing?
Then
this is Chekhov's DVD. Man.
Beverly doesn't die. Okay, what is this idea involves fucking DVD
okay,
flipping?
Okay, well, let's find out.
I'm already against it. Go on.
A new feat I call skin of your teeth. Okay. Revamped lucky rules.
Okay.
There are some people who seem to get by on the thinnest sliver of good fortune, as opposed to halflings who seem to naturally have good things happen to them.
Arguably.
These folks could truly be called lucky. After all, what is a victory snatched from the jaws of defeat if you can't see precisely how sharp those teeth are?
Mm.
One would argue that it would be closer if it was on like a 20-sided die as opposed to just a 50-50 chance, right? Because that would be just like a huge whiff or a huge
win. Do you guys think that the head side is success or is it the shiny side? Because I feel like
think
the shiny
head side is success.
Okay.
The logic isn't 100% sound, but let's see if the idea
right. It's shiny.
Once per round. If a roll you make fails, if a roll you make fails, or a roll made against you succeeds,
okay.
What?
You may
this
flip
is so often.
You may flip a DVD.
Why?
Adding the one to the total number on heads, or subtracting that one on tails.
Oh,
I'm asking for either one.
What are you owing about, Caldwell? What are you owing about?
Because it's just
this should be.
Murph, this is an incredible idea.
Why?
Are you listening? Jake, do you want to read it again for him? Because I think he's.
You can't all gaslight me into thinking the DVD flipping is
Hold
cool.
on one second.
Once
Howdy,
per round.
Yeah. I may finally have a use for Caldwell's special DVD. Okay, Lucy is asking for one humble egg.
Wow.
Or negative one eggs.
One
negative
egg.
One. Give me eggs. Oh. You owe me eggs for this.
Okay, first off, egg. Caldwell, yeah. Flip the DVD. Let's find out. Also, I'm going to go back.
This,
I actually think that the descriptor on the DVD, I agree with you actually now that the shiny part should be the success.
Yeah.
Because it's shiny. Mm. And also, then you're not scuffing the... DVD.
Yes, and also like when you look down at it, you're seeing your own face and you're seeing like a mirror version of the face that succeeded. So it's like you're like playing parallel lines.
That was what my reason for why it should be a failure. You lean over, see your reflection. You think, what am I
like
doing?
It's like when you turn off the switch and like you just see your face from a really
But let me show you why this idea is not great.
Okay.
So I'm going to set, Caldwell, do you have a D20 near you?
No, I only have DVDs.
You have one right over your shoulder. I can see a D20.
You do have a giant D20 right behind you.
D20 right over your shoulder.
Okay, yeah, I have a big red one behind me. I'm just going
to
roll
that on the
floor.
Okay, so you got a big red D20. Yeah. All right, so we'll say you have a +2 to this roll. It's going to be a DC 15 check. Go ahead and roll it, Caldwell.
Okay. Let's say what the thing is so it feels more dramatic. You're swinging over a bridge, and you're holding onto a rope, and there's a bunch of crocodiles below you.
Yeah. And the crocodiles are fighting giraffes, and we're rooting for the giraffes.
Right now,
the
giraffes are about to descend into the river and take these
crocodiles. The giraffes have backup coming, and it's going to be a massacre.
But we did watch the crocodile rear its young, so we're kind of confused about who we're following.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to roll a DC 15. I get +2 to it.
You have +2.
That's a 16. All right, so 18 and 16.
And that's it. Feels good to you, doesn't it? Okay,
and that's it. And now it doesn't come into play.
It was within one.
Right, because +1 is never going to... It does happen every once in a while, but you have to... When do you decide? Do you decide after?
It kind of makes you stop down for a second on every single roll to clarify
exactly what the DC was. If you did it after and you got a -1, it doesn't matter because you already failed, right? So if he got a 14, he would just be like, I'm going to flip the DVD.
Yeah, technically you don't need the -1.
You don't need the -1.
It's either a +1.
It just can give you a +1.
Oh yeah, the -1 has no negative effect.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. And if you did it beforehand, what just happened would happen all the time, which is every round you would just be like, well, for every roll, I'm going to flip a DVD.
I might be getting a +1.
Or actually,
Basically, you should every single time if you can do it once per round.
Well, I guess not, because statistically it's just +0 because it's -1 half the time and +1 half the time. So it's just, there's no reason to do it.
Oh, right.
I am picturing this table like descending into hating DVDs.
It's going to become so DVD focused. It's so DVD focused.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Caldo, I guess you want to flip a DVD because that's what the people want.
I mean, absolutely. Ready?
Wait, do we decide what is -1?
It sounds like we're on the fence. Let's flip this DVD.
Yeah. Flip the DVD.
And see if we're going to buy the idea.
Okay. Well, I'm not buying the idea.
And remember, shiny side is yes.
Shiny side is yes.
Shiny side's good.
Yeah.
That shiny side, it's a good idea.
Dude.
Wow.
That's awesome. That's so fucking funny.
Everyone at home just lost it.
I bet also, like, for the sake of a podcast, flipping a DVD probably sounds like nothing.
I also couldn't hear. I couldn't hear it. It sounds worse than the rolls. It's
Hold on. Let me do it on the pure wood. Let me get a pure wood flip for
there's
you.
There's no, you're just going to break your DVD.
That's fine.
It's actually, there's no, it was underwhelming.
We should have, I told you.
It happened, we didn't even know that it did. We didn't even see it flip.
So maybe the problem with flipping DVDs hasn't been the idea of flipping DVDs, but rather that there's not a satisfying sound.
Could we make a pog slammer of a DVD?
Why, though? Why do we want 50-50 chances on stuff? That's not how the fucking game is
built. I guess
you're
describing a coin.
Yeah.
It's like a DVD, but it's smaller.
It's like a heavy thing that's made
thicker,
of it's made
heavier.
Of like metal.
Yeah.
Maybe, and there's like a clear, distinct head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You could also, as a team building exercise, go to like a pottery studio and you could all make your own DVDs and then you flip them. And if they don't break, that means you succeed. So there's a lot of ways to do it.
Do you know what? Actually, it'd be kind of hard to throw a DVD on a wheel. Like throwing plates is harder than throwing bowls.
Really?
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah. Just something to think about next time you're eating off
think
of
about.
Next time you go to your friend's place and they put like your salmon in a bowl instead of a plate.
Right.
It's like, maybe that's why.
Right. Well, I serve all my food on
they
DVDs.
Couldn't make a plate. Yeah.
Salmon's a little underdone. And so is your tableware.
Say that the next time you go to a dinner party. Say, couldn't make the plate, huh? Like,
what would you do if you went to a restaurant and they served all of your food on DVDs?
I would think it was really, really fun.
I would just be like, we're in LA or New York. This is just a bad idea that someone took too far.
I would think it was really fun because they would all be little circular things.
Yeah.
The little hole in the center. And then maybe the waiter brings it out with their finger through.
Be way too cool. Small.
And it needs to be, it should be a record.
It should be a record.
A record would be better. Well, I think your main course is on a record. Like the shared plates are on DVDs, obviously.
Yeah. The record one, I'm just convinced, already exists.
Yeah.
The DVD is new.
Just think about the waiter like leaning over with a DVD perched on their finger.
It's also,
and they have to hold it in front of you until you finish.
No one has nostalgia for DVDs. This restaurant is going to go out of business so fast.
I don't think that's true. I think people are crazy for Blu-rays these days.
You're right. I do have some DVDs. And I did dream of having a DVD rack at one point.
Yeah, yeah. I had the highly controversial opinion that we shouldn't have a DVD rack.
The dream died.
Yeah.
I haven't pursued it.
Yeah.
Unless you got to go. Yeah, you need the album so you can flip through it with ease. And I think that's, you know.
You can always go to Caldwell's if you want to view DVDs.
I got a whole shelf full of them.
Okay.
So,
I have like one last thing I want to say. One last thing I want to say on this. Because I do think that like there is an inkling of this hatching as an inkling of a good idea here, which is that this kind of gets to what I like about Pathfinder, which is where you can give people the help action and give them like a +2 to something. So I think that it's less about you flipping a coin if you fail and more about everyone having like one coin per day that they can flip to potentially give you like a +1 or a -1 or maybe even a +2, -2.
I'm cool with that. Once per day.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I mean, it might as well be a DVD instead of a coin.
Yeah.
There's just like better abilities to do this, though. Like there's just like actual luck points. Like you can just reroll it. Or there are things that'll just be like give the person strength or advantage on checks. So like this already exists in not coin form.
I'm pretty new to D&D 2024.
Yeah.
Are there any feats that let you flip DVDs?
DV feet.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true. DVDs. I haven't clicked around enough. I mean, you're DMing. Imagine the applause that you get when you honor, when you take out a folder of DVDs, a DVD case.
Yeah. So I think the thing about D&D that is interesting is that you make your character so they have proficiencies in certain things and have certain abilities. Yeah. And then the D20 allows for like a range of different successes. No, not a DVD 20.
That's what we can call the DVD. We can rebrand them and trademark it.
That's what I'm talking about.
So like, I think it's more interesting to be like, as a rogue, when I roll an 11, that's actually a good stealth because I have +9, so I have a 20. Versus, for instance, flipping a DVD, where I would just do it or not do it, where it's not even a game,
so
right?
That's what's we're just flipping coins. For you?
But the mechanics of the game are interesting to me. Yeah,
and for us, but for us, DVDs are interesting.
Yes,
to us.
But what I'm saying is, like, this is it's almost like an assist trophy or something like that, where you have like this rare coin that's got Shrek's face on it, and like you've exhausted all of your abilities, and yet you've got this coin that could give you a +1, which might be all you need, or it might give you a -1 and you fail. So this is just like as a last ditch effort that you can do once, and then the coin vanishes. Shrek returns
to his
home plane.
But there's just other stuff that does that. Is what I'm saying it's not a coin.
Yeah, I do think it's interesting that Shrek is life.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
Too true. I do think it is so funny that I do think the audience would get in on gaslighting me into thinking that all of the DVD flip ideas are awesome.
Right.
I do think if you broke out a DVD at a live show, the audience would go batshit.
And they will.
They would go wild.
It'd be hard not to fling that thing into the audience, though, when we really couldn't.
No,
it'd be a hazard.
A yeah, you'd have to just hand it to someone for sure. Yeah.
Very you could chip a tooth.
This person owes me eggs.
Yeah, well, we flipped to see if we were going to buy it, and it landed shiny side up.
Okay.
So we are very.
And sometimes you've got to invest in undercooked eggs, and then, you know, then you start your own restaurant and just see where life takes you.
Yeah.
Tiny little tacos on a DVD. Who says no? Charby writes, "Hello, Tortles. Quick and easy one here. Feels like a slam dunk."
Can I just go back for 1 second
to the restaurant?
The idea where we're serving food on a DVD. Just imagine you go to eat it and then your stupid little face appears on the shiny DVD and you're just like, Man, I don't actually want anything.
No. You got to do Shiny Side Down for that, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Okay.
Yeah. Right. No, well, the Shiny Side is there if after you're eating, you check if you have anything in your teeth.
That's really
okay.
Great.
It's a good idea again. It's a good idea.
Because you're going to want to see the full Monty box art when you're eating. And then you flip it over when you're done and check your teeth. Yeah. It's
Although you do want to see, I feel like, wouldn't it be exciting to finish your meal and then find out what DVD you'd been eating on?
Right. Oh, that's cool. I got Boondock Saints.
Yeah. The ultimate DVD.
And then you could have a lucky DVD where you get like a free dessert or something like that. Wow, what a fun mechanic, Merv.
Oh, yeah, that's because like most of the DVDs are Fight Club.
Yeah.
That's like, I think most of the DVDs in existence.
In this world.
Yeah. I would say, this doesn't make any sense, but it feels right. I think Boondock Saints is the DVD-est DVD that you can have.
I think so. Well, there's certain movies that came out when DVDs were just going off.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I'm sure Boondock Saints did great in theaters, but I think it did even better on DVD.
You know who I think is probably killing it on DVDs? The Lion King.
Probably, yeah.
Sure. I think it was on VHS.
Looked at who made the most DVDs? And Gemini will only tell me who sold the most. So,
okay. Can we all guess?
You guys guess.
How much did this come out? How much did this come out?
Oh wait, shit! It could be Star Wars. It could be.
I think it's The Lion King.
I'm gonna do a dark horse way too and say 40-year-old virgin.
Oh, that's a good one. Oh man. Oh, it could be Anchorman.
I think it's gonna be family friendly.
No, you know what? It could be Star Wars. I'm gonna say Star Wars or Fight Club. We'll go Fight Club.
Okay. So Murph is going Fight Club.
Mm-hmm.
Not on the list.
Not on the list. Damn. How big's the list?
This list is 20.
Jeez.
Yeah.
All right, keep going down the line.
Okay. Caldwell, what was your guess?
My guess was 40-year-old virgin.
No.
Ah.
Not on the list. Okay. Emily, yours was the Lion King.
Yeah.
Very interesting. That is the top best-selling film, not the top best-selling DVD.
Oh!
Wow. Okay, I'll say Star Wars, A New Hope.
No.
What?
Okay, I'm going to guess. Do you guys remember when they would make you learn typing by playing you movies?
Mavis Beacon teaches typing, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's no...
Mavis Beacon teaches
typing. Well, that's a CD-ROM.
That's just not a DVD. I'm sure there were DVDs of it.
Okay, fine. Hackers.
It's not Hackers.
The Matrix?
Wait, is it Shrek?
The Matrix is good.
Close with Shrek.
Oh.
Shrek is in the top 10.
Okay. Cool. All right.
Mission Impossible.
No, not in the top 10.
I do think it's family friendly.
I still can't believe Star Wars isn't there.
I think I'm just a little off. I'm going to say Shrek 2.
Shrek 2 is higher than Shrek 1.
Oh, wild.
It is number 1, 2, 3, 4. It's 6.
Okay.
Okay.
I think God damn it. Are we ever going to get number 1, do you think?
I think, you know, in...
Oh, Toy Story? I don't know.
Is no, it but like we're getting it. We're zeroing in on it.
Oh, okay. Okay. A kid's movie.
Inside what came Out.
No, what
not came, Inside Out.
Would have been like something that came out in 2000-ish, I would think.
Matrix is like such a good guess.
I'll give you guys the year.
Armageddon.
Ooh. One of my favorite movies, not on the top 10. 2003.
2003
family-friendly movie.
Shark Tale.
So
Finding Nemo.
Okay. Yes, correct.
Whoa. Okay, that makes sense.
Told you guys it was going to be family-friendly.
Yeah. I was confused by the no Star Wars, but Nemo makes sense.
God damn it.
Okay, wow.
Wow. And this is the kind of trivia night that we could have at our DVD bar.
Yeah.
Where all of your cocktails are served on tangible
DVDs. We'll call it Flippers.
We do Flippers, and it's based on, and whenever people say, why is it called, I know why Flippers has to do with flipping DVDs. What does it have to do with DVD? And you say, because Finding Nemo is the best selling DVD of all time.
Yeah.
And Flipper is the name of a dolphin from a different right. property.
And then we ask them, do you have a reservation? And they're like, no. And then we're like, it's okay, actually. We're empty.
You want to flip a DVD to see where you sit?
We can seat you.
Look, we can definitely seat you anywhere. Anywhere is fine.
The bartender and the owner were clearly just having an argument.
It's called working for equity. You'll get paid on the back end.
Oh, and the mascot.
You're investing in the company. And then
the mascot for Flippers could be Crush the Turtle from Finding Nemo. This all comes back around.
This is,
so
expensive. This is expensive.
Holy crap.
And also, why is it called Flippers then? I guess he had our...
They got flippers.
They do have flippers. Mm-hmm.
Turtle legs are called flippers.
He's a sea turtle when you're a sea turtle, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Another idea. This one comes from Charby. Charby writes, hello, turtles. Quick and easy one here feels like a slam dunk. If you can get multiple sources of advantage, all additional sources can turn into a simple plus one.
Okay. Oh, that's interesting.
So your party's battle master fighter uses trip attack on your BBEG, knocking them prone, creating advantage for other party members to attack. And the party mastermind rogue uses a bonus action to help each source of advantage instead of being wasted, or else would just become a plus
this is,
one.
Yeah, this
I
is hot.
Really like that I think idea, that's cool. actually.
That makes yeah. sense, because 5e kind of simplified it just so it was like advantage is just you just get the one advantage. But it does make sense that it would be, you know, if one of the players tackles someone and they're prone and one of the players casts something mm-hmm. that like would magically enhance their shot,
yeah,
it would be even easier.
Yeah.
You know? I also think it would make for some creative, unique moments where your characters would try to do stuff that they weren't necessarily good at. If it's like, oh, I actually have a plus two to this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So like, I actually might go for it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's kind of fun too.
I have
too,
advantage
like,
and a plus two.
Right. Sometimes like a character has like a natural ability that gives them advantage too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you like role playing, you still want to help them somehow.
Yeah.
This is
yeah.
great because there's definitely times, especially with like silvery barbs or something like that, where like you line up an advantage for someone and then you find out like, oh, they already had advantage and you feel like you've like wasted their spell slot. So yeah, this feels like a great solve for that.
I almost feel like it could be juiced up. I feel like it could be plus two. I feel like it could be plus two, right?
Okay. I actually think that's too much. I think I like it as plus one. I think plus one with advantage is still going to feel so powerful.
Yeah, I guess if it's all pre-roll, then it feels pretty intense.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can get away with plus two.
You can make it a D4 if you want to be crazy about it.
You can make it a DVD.
Oh, and if
now we're talking...
The art it's side, it's plus one.
Yeah.
And if it's the shiny side, it's plus
no,
two.
No, shiny side is good. We want shiny
side.
That's what
I said. Yeah, plus two.
Plus two.
Oh, okay,
right, there's no negative on a DVD. I kind of like that.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you make that a coin flip, that's kind of fun. Like, plus one or plus two. We found it, folks. We got there.
By the way, Charby doesn't name a price.
Okay.
Okay.
We could give them a window seat at Flippers because it's actually currently empty.
Yeah.
And
that's
because
the foot traffic.
Yeah.
Really good. Okay.
We're gonna get a cardboard cutout of a famous actor, and you're gonna be laughing as you eat your meal.
And sorry,
so people are gonna think like, "Wow,
eat
Michael Shannon is eating at this restaurant. That's crazy."
Michael Shannon, Walton Goggins, and then someone we don't know. I gotta check out Flippers.
God, I want to overhear that conversation. To be a fly on the wall at Flippers.
Yeah, once they see the DVDs as the plates, people will start coming in. Yeah. They're not coming in right now.
Right.
Because I think they don't know the connection between the DVDs and Flippers and Finding Nemo being the best DVD of all time.
Oh, the bathrooms could be really heavily Finding Nemo themed.
That's
okay,
cool.
Yeah.
Like to a point where we get a cease and desist, you know?
Yeah.
That could be fun.
Right. Well,
to
we can make
how
our
far
own.
We can take it.
We can make our own Crush, the sea turtle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We Crash.
Can, yeah.
Oh,
Crash.
Cool.
But
Crash.
Not Crash, but any kind of looks like Crash Bandicoot. We'll just Photoshop Crash Bandicoot eyes on Crush.
Mm-hmm. That's
and we'll be like, Crash is kind of nuts. He's not chill at all.
He's going to flip out.
He's going to flip out. Yeah. He's
a
there
is
the
a Crash DVD. And if you get that one, he just comes out and wrecks your
Yeah. Mirror. Yeah, we do have to pay someone in a suit, like in the dead of New York summer, to be Crash.
Hey, you really can't take the helmet off.
Yeah. The kids need to think that you're Crash.
Hey, people can see how much you're sweating when you take the hat off and they start to feel bad for you.
I caught Walton Goggins bribing the waiter to get the Crash DVD. What's that all about?
Yeah.
Goggins was an extra in that.
Goggins loves Crash.
Okay. All right, you guys, we've got time for one more pitch. This one comes.
Where did the time go? Did we invent
DVDs?
A cursed
mostly DVDs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Time flies when you are trapped in the void of Flippers.
Our new terrible game
time
show.
Time flies when you're looking at DVDs, when, not watching them.
Looking at
them.
How successful were DVDs?
By year. I think we got something here. This is
This
is the bonus.
The other
round
ones are
for
interesting.
To come out.
There was Cars, Spider-Man, Dark Knight, Avatar. Shrek 2.
Avatar.
Stop.
None of us guessed
future,
Avatar.
This is future
Holy
content.
Holy shit. In the top 10. Rounding out the top 10. You want to know what it was?
Yeah, I do.
Guess.
God
Wait,
damn
don't
it.
Say we're guessing what numbers. We're guessing
is
what
it
numbers.
Is it Fight Club?
It's not Fight Club.
It's okay. Yeah. Is it anything we've said yet?
Nothing you've said yet.
God damn it.
Something we love.
Something we love?
Not Flintstones. You're on the right track.
Lilo and Stitch.
On the right track.
No, but no, you're on the right track.
On the right track.
Okay, so it's got to be something from the Wonderverse.
Yes. Grinch.
Oh, my God.
Family friendly.
The original Jim Carrey's The Grinch? Yep. Wow.
Which came out November 2001.
That's awesome.
The world needed to laugh.
Yeah.
Okay. Last
theoretically,
idea.
they shot it before. They scrambled to get the Grinch done. James is like, America needs the Grinch.
Jim Carrey,
get to the end of it. Right now. I don't care how you get here.
Get Jim Carrey in makeup.
I know that we planned on releasing this in June, but it needs to come out 6 months earlier.
Jim Carrey was in costume when the news hit.
Yeah.
God.
Okay.
This one comes from Rebecca.
Okay.
Hello, turtles. Simple homebrew item. Okay. The Sword of Screaming. It has one D10 charges on it.
Okay.
It can be added onto a hit like a smite. A charge does 1d8 thunder damage.
Cool.
You can add any amount of charges to any hit. When the sword runs out of charges, it explodes, dealing however much damage dealt in the last attack to the wielder and can never be used again.
Oh, that is really fun.
That's cool.
When wielding the sword, the wielder cannot make stealth checks as the sword is constantly screaming.
Wow.
Okay.
All I ask for in return is a single egg. What a fucking
insane. That's what I say, recession.
For me to decorate using the Pisanky egg technique.
Whoa, hold on.
I don't know
what
that is.
Whoa, Pisanky.
Stop the fucking
recording. I've never
heard
of that.
Pisanky egg technique. Okay, Pisanky eggs. I'm looking it up. Oh, those are pretty. Okay, wow, yeah.
Describe it.
Describe for the audio.
It looks like a... I'm just going to flip a DVD, actually, instead. It's like a very ornate, kind of like symmetrical pattern on an egg. Very complex. Like, okay. like a really complicated, ornate quilt painted onto an egg.
Cool.
Beautiful.
Gorgeous.
A quilt egg.
A quilt egg. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I really like this idea.
Screaming sword.
Mm-hmm. I'm immediately imagining a incredibly heightened, dramatic moment where you're like, all right, I'm probably going to die from this, but so is the bad guy.
That's cool.
And you're like, I'm going to use 5 charges. Mm-hmm.
I'm imagining like a character moment, like you killed my father and now, and the sword is just going, oh! Yeah.
Sorry, what? I can't hear you. Who are you?
Not being
the music really loud in this flippers.
Not being able to stealth ever is kind of not worth this. But it's kind of a bad item.
Well, yeah. But I think it's like the literally an item so you funny. Use like one time. You find it.
And then you just go
you
nuts
all 10 charges.
And let it blow up.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess all the charges at once and you accept all of that damage.
Wow. Yeah. Does it regain charges, did they say?
No, I think it's just does the one.
If you feed it a balanced D10. Meal, it regains charges. That's what I heard. Because the sword has a mouth, right?
That's right.
Yeah, it
has to scream. Mm-hmm.
Would you guys, as DMs, let people put it in a bag of holding to stifle the scream? Or would you be like, nah, dude?
I think that seems fair.
I think that seems fair, right?
Yeah. I think you could put like a towel in its mouth or something like that and like muffle it. Yeah. I don't think you're ever like getting rid of the scream, but I think you can muffle the scream.
I almost wonder if there's a version of this that has a dice roll element to it where essentially the more charges you let off, the higher the save is and that it will explode on a low roll.
That's cool.
And then there's a risk every time as opposed to it just being like, if you know you have 5 charges, you're probably just going to use 4 and then throw the sword away, right?
Murph, I think you just described a gun blade, which is a different thing, but like twice as awesome. Whoa. We should just like, you know what? Let's put a pin in that conversation. We're going to put that in a separate tank. We're going to keep working on that.
Yeah.
Okay.
There was something in Critical Role Campaign 1 where there was a sword that could like kind of absorb souls, if I'm remembering correctly.
Cool.
Okay.
And if you rolled poorly on like a save, the character could like die. Mm. It was like a cursed sword. That mechanic is very interesting to have it come down to a roll with very dire consequences when bad things happen. So I like the idea of being like, maybe every time you swing it, there's a constitution save or some kind of concentration check, essentially, so that you have the lightning going out as opposed to, you know, hurting you.
That's definitely like a probably a good tweak. But for me, you're like, you use it 4 times and then you throw it out. No, I definitely like, I want to take that damage.
Why?
Yeah, go out in a blaze of glory.
But, or even just like, you still have 1 left. You're like, all right, well, I'm going to do it once.
Go down fighting and shouting.
Yeah.
You could do it like that. You use 4 at once and then you use once and take the damage.
Yeah.
We need to put more cursed weapons in our campaigns.
Yeah.
Because now that we've been playing for a while, I used to dangle cursed items in front of you guys when we were all first starting out. And when you're new to D&D, you're like, I don't want my character to die. I don't want anything bad to happen. And you don't want to do it. Now I think we've all played enough that we're like, I want the talking sword, please.
You know what it is, though? I feel like everyone needs to have cursed items, because I would feel rude if I accepted a cursed item and then it screwed over the party.
Yeah.
Right.
But I think if it's something like this, where just like your sword might blow up and hurt you.
I think it's super fun.
It's not as bad as if a sword is just like, you might kill your friends in the middle of the
night. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I'm not crazy about the sword constantly screaming, but I feel like that's a feature funny. Of the idea. So.
Yeah.
One person's scream might be another person's song.
That's beautiful.
Wow.
Right? So like, what maybe is, you like
what
it.
Is screamo?
Sorry, are you going to take my order or not?
Scream is just screamo without the emo, right? Yeah.
That's really true. Maybe the sword just needs its band backing it up, and then like the music is beautiful.
It's really I still haven't gotten my water.
I'm working on Walton's order, okay?
Yeah. I think we're in on this one. I think with a couple tweaks.
Everyone's
I think we all like it in different ways.
Everyone's been so modest. I think that like next time we do this, I think you guys need to like drive a harder bargain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You forget. We are egg rich.
Yeah. Should we give everyone who pitched a bonus Psyanky egg?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
You guys need to ask for a lot of money and give up not a lot of equity. Yeah. That's what we're looking for.
In fact, your first meal, actually no, not full meal. Your first appetizer is free when you come to Flippers. And you need to
if
come.
If you sit we're in the window money. And look like you're having
we're
a great time.
We're hemorrhaging money. Yeah.
And if you get a free appetizer, you have to order an entree and dessert.
And if you could mention the Finding Nemo bathroom in the Yelp, that I think really gets some foot traffic.
It's actually, it's a four drink minimum too.
Oh, here's how we get away.
The turtle in the bathroom is dead.
Here's how we get away with the trademark. It's Finding Emo.
Oh,
like
Finding Nemo has. Yeah. It's definitely that joke's been done before. I guarantee it.
Yeah,
but just like Nemo with
a
little swoop
and
bangs.
We did it first.
Yeah, and he does perform. There's a little stage in the back, kind of like Showbiz Pizza. And like he's gonna there's gonna be an animatronic turtle, and he's gonna perform screamo music while you eat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we're not gonna be able to get around the trademark on that unless they do all sea based kind of puns based. On,
at a certain
you know,
point, this restaurant is so successful that we don't need to get around the trade.
Yeah.
They can
yeah.
come to us in court and we
us.
Can fight it.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, yeah. We'll in fact, we take them, we preemptively take them to court.
We countersue. They have to settle because they don't want us to drag them through the legal process. It's easier to give up the rights to Finding Nemo to us. They don't want to be in a protracted legal dispute with us.
And we're willing to be.
Yeah. We don't have anything else to do.
Disney, you're turning down so much free advertising because we're going to have all the DVDs in there. People are going to be able to see. Yeah.
We'll be selling the DVDs.
We're willing to partner.
Yeah. We want to make it the biggest selling DVD of 2025, just like it was in 2003. Yeah. All right, with that, we're going to wrap this one up. Thank you all so much for listening. You can head on over to our Patreon to listen to the after show. We're actually going to be doing D&D Court. Ooh. If you'd like to hear D&D Court this week, head on over to patreon.com/nadpod. That's NADDPOD. Don't sing yet. Don't do it. Don't do it.
I'm lost in the
tank. We've got some things to plug. We've got some Dimension 20 live shows. We've got on July 20th, we've got Seattle. And in November, we're going to be in Las Vegas. So search Dimension 20 live.
Boom, baby. Check out my Substack, substack.com/@JakeHurwitz.
Yeah.
There's a new one coming out on Friday.
And check out my Substack account where I don't post, but people keep following it.
It's kind of nice.
It's nice. It feels good. It's just like a little check-in. And I'll go ahead and plug a couple things from the P.O. box. Let's see here. Yeah. Oh, somebody sent us a Blue Hole fridge magnet from Santa Rosa, New Mexico, and it is on my fridge now. I can't flip it. It's on the fridge, and that's where it's going to remain. I love fridge magnets. I have a new fridge that can take fridge magnets. It's magnetic. Please send me fridge magnets. I like it.
Your fridge couldn't take fridge magnets before?
The upstairs fridge can't take magnets for some reason. It's like not the right type
of
metal.
That's heartbreaking.
It's really
sad. I
also
love fridge magnets.
Yeah.
Stainless steel? Does stainless steel not take metal?
I don't, you know, I don't, I'm not a ferrochemist.
Right. Let's talk more about fridges.
I just didn't even know they were making fridges that couldn't take magnets.
Denamalist sent us an autographed copy of the cast recording of Goosebumps the musical. So...
I definitely didn't
know
that existed.
Didn't know that existed. But it's got Alex Brightman from Beetlejuice, so it's probably pretty good. I'm excited to listen to it.
Hell yeah.
And then Jay Narissa sent us some birch syrup from Canada. Apparently it tastes like maple syrup, but not as good.
Oh.
Is that what they said?
That's what they said.
That's so funny.
So anyway, thanks so much for submitting stuff, folks. It's always fun to see what goodies have arrived, so I appreciate it.
Hell yeah.
Thank you. And you can follow us on social media that we may or may not use, at CHVersMe, at CaldisCaldal, at AXRosEmily, and at JakeWertzIsJake. And you can talk about the show online using hashtag NADPod. That's NADDPOD.
We are the youth of the nation.
It's the end of the show, everybody, and that means I need to shout out our benevolent council of elders, starting with Brad D, Jeffrey S, a.k.a. Lord of the Fjord, Cutter W, Jeff C, Daniel G, Danielle the Dastardly Dame, Carpe Liam, Victor T, a.k.a. Balnor's Boy, Hoyd's Friend, Justin I, Danny Danster, TJM, Trele the Cray, Christopher B, Daniel R, Jordan L, Cyborg version of Josh the Kobold, Targot, Stevie Wags, Hellish Rebuker, the NBDM, PhD, Princess Yar, Jory S, Jack L, Nicholas C, star of every film ever made in Bohemia, Mike H, Alka Smeltzer Plus, Great Value Gemma, Tyler F, Carborough Chapel Hill FPV, CC Lulu, Bald Burn, Hercule Poirot, the Rabbit Folk Detective, Timmy R, Jake's Jerk Jelly, hashtag CCC, Cass Skateboard Cass, Steven, shout out to Bowie the Troll C, Mike K, Nick W, William W, Big Bad Beard of the Mad, Eric McD, Ananorama, Percival Frederick Stein von Musel, Klazowski de Rolo III, Jay Dragonborn, Guardian of the Vibe, Honoring the Cock, This Isn't Even My Final Form, Ben A, Dave H, Not That Nick, Danny F, Hawkeye Pierce, Bookvar's Assistant SEF, DPC is Awesome, Sean, the Shade Tree Mechanic of Zelbuldar, Summer Rose, aka Grand Terre, Mark, the Dark Lord's Taint, Cat C, Ariel, the Occasional Mermaid, Selena N, aka Valet Sea Raptor, B Perky Always, Pat L, Lauren H, Serve 16, Annie the Feywild Therapist, Pierogi Frenzy, Salil, Biocourt 7, Amber Dextris, Bean Rat Was Innocent, Jack H, King of the Mole People Under Iron Deep, dressed in blue and fighting his way through a bracket style tournament, Valen, Podge the Bitchin' Bunny Bard, Druidic Peyton, Carlin C, Noah the Bullywug Boy, hashtag Honor the Cock, James G, Everything Bago, the Eladrin who just wants to hang out with his pet badger Stripey, Reverend Chatterbones, Han, Eric B, Marcos, PhD student like a wizard artificer, IRL, Learns the Balanced Druid, Frida M, Maggie, Holly the Green Laughing Hyena, Aaron B, Russell H, A Monk Named Dilgo, yes the whole thing, yes every time, Cody C, Lorelei the Succubi, and Kyra the Succulent Snack, McKenna Stout, Your Friendly Neighborhood Yaunt and Yunkle, Andrew and Sid, soon-to-be education specialist John Adams, James F, Austin S, Wayfarer now has to do something with the trolls, get rid of them, turn to page 42, keep them, turn to page 69. Oreo, Shane C, Barpo Goodbarrel Barbarian, Garrett G, aka One Big Curd, Charlie Brown's Best Friend, Renee the Monster Captain, Olivia the Enchanting Bard, and Jared the Soap Opera Cleric are now performing ballads from the Age of Stories. Blue Ash, Fico, Garrett the Artificer, Anthony the Raddest of Dudes, Jay, the fairies have returned to debauchery and must now go to the carnal corner, Cantrip Dumbledore, the bear onesie wearing barbarian, Lexi H, MJ the BFG, Roger L, Nodrog the Pass a Fist barbarian, Gianluca, Leon K, legendary hero of Bohemia from a future campaign, Shenanigans O'Connor, Mios the Great, Joshua S, Alexander, Linz W, Sky the Wise, aka the Lone Dungeon Master, Johnny Dude K, the Mischief of Nadpod's Familiars, Kit and Their Cat, Tim M, Tiles L, TR, MLG Cheeto, Shelby, Kenna's first favorite sprite girl, totally stoked for some more Trinnyvale toxic triplets. Everyone say thank you, Dunkle. Thank you, Dunkle. Jet S, Snailus, who's infecting Worcester from within. My cat doesn't smoke, it's catnip, not weed. Bohemia's favorite power couple, Jared the Soap Opera Cleric and Olivia the Enchanting Bard. Pawpaw Sky Days, Meemaw Sky Days, Megan N, Anthony B, Balnor's best friend Steve, Stephanie of House and Zunza, Benjamin A, Gimli the Corgi, Pawpon Foster's canine friend, Mikhail A, Josh H, pilot of the Nightmareverse flight, the two crew blew through, Jennery, Kelsey A, Ethan the Mailman, Maple the Shy Bookworm, Ashasaurus,
Seth the Stroker, bearer of all hog-related burdens, Billy Batson, Tori the Tungsten Dragoose, accidental sharer of recipes, Michael L.S. II, Carl B., plumber of the realm, Dex Riddlewell, Ace Dregs, High Lord of Kritzberg, Venn Diagram, Catamelius the Consumed, Clinton P., Cam the Vampire Frogman, Dean, Jake W. says, Hi Mom, Tuesday Cross, only here for the Surfin' Murph. Dave, Nadpod saved my life but stole my wife, O, Steve L., Tyler McM., Alex G., Zibida Bakery, Kaylee, Katarina C., Misty the Crispy Kitty really hates flame skulls, Greg W., there's so many of us now, but hey, you're doing great and we love you. Thanks, Greg W. Baruch Thunderhelm, fifth generation Minotaur, working as an abandoned labyrinth tour guide, Chupac Aubrey, Boney is dead, The Waterworth, Nick, Amy, Aegis Kunari, Ignition Class Pedalstorm, Charlemagne, not the god, DJ Dramamine, Ulrich von Zerovich, my favorite patron makes me say penis on my show, Jen the Rowdy, and finally, Caitlin H. Thank you all so much for listening. Thank you to all of our Patreon subscribers and, of course, our benevolent Council of Elders. We'll be over on our Patreon talking more about the episode at patreon.com/nadpod. Until then, we'll catch you all next time.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.